Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome to episode 437 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever. And coming up on the show this week, we'll be hearing from Shalimar. We've got Caroline Griffey and Jeffrey Daniel on the line to tell us about their forthcoming gig in Coventry coming up a little bit later on this month. And we'll be hearing from Eddie the Eagle Edwards talking about not only his career, but also how you can get yourself a great holiday in Austria. That's a little bit of a plug. And we'll be hearing from Margaret Cho about her gig in Birmingham, which comes up towards the end of the month. But first of all,
now, last weekend saw a fantastic achievement for England's under-17s, and one of the men from Molineux was part of that lineup. Overseeing this little presentation, quick mention first of all, for the gentleman on the front row of the director's box, he is our Vice President Ron Flowers, of course, medalist from the squad himself. He's going to give us a little bit of a wave from up there, but good to know that we have somebody who is at senior level seen a World Cup winning medal in his own possession. But down here with me, I have Academy Manager Gareth Prosser. Hello, Gareth.
Hiya.
So a fantastic result, coming from behind and turning the match around and going on to win the under-17s at World Cup.
Yeah, it's a terrific achievement by the team. To be 2-0 down after 18 minutes in the game and to come out 5-2 convincing winners is a credit to England and obviously a credit to Morgan, one of our own.
And you were sat there at the game in India and it must have been an amazing atmosphere.
Yeah, I'm not too sure it's really sunk in yet, and I was fortunate to be out there with Morgan's dad Kirk, and just a great experience and a privilege to be out there on behalf of Wolves supporting Morgs.
And in the academy, obviously this is exactly the sort of achievement that you're working towards with all the lads, and you must be so proud.
Yeah, the staff, every member of staff at Wolves really are really proud of what we've done over the 9 years and what we'll continue to do. You know, there's a huge amount of work that goes into supporting the players on and off the pitch, and we're really proud of him.
So I think this is about the point we should welcome onto the pitch an amazing player, done his bit, scoring the equaliser that brought things back level. Please, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Morgan Gibbs-White! Morgan, we're not going to get you to say too much, but first of all, what was it like playing in front of 66,684 people out there?
It was unbelievable. I'm still speechless for words now, and I just mean, like, it was the best experience of my life.
And scoring the equaliser, which then led on to the win, you must be so proud.
Yeah, I think I made all my family proud when I scored the goal.
Well, we're proud of you too, so much so, we're going to make a little presentation to you and the academy. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody who knows a thing or two about the World Cup himself, please welcome Steve Ball. Morgan, here we have for you a signed England shirt, your winner's medal, all ready for you to hang on the wall and be very proud of. Absolutely fantastic work, with Ron Flowers watching, with Steve Ball down here as well. Ladies and gentlemen, please once again put your hands together for Morgan Gibbs-White.
In a moment's time, we'll be hearing from Caroline Griffey from Shalimar. But first of all, let's put ourselves in the mood with one of their hits from 35 years ago. Shalimar are back on the road, and their natural person to step into the shoes of their female singer since 2001 is Carolyn Griffey. Hello.
Hello, Jason. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. I'm well. Thank you.
Good stuff. Now, it must be great being back out on the road because the 70s and 80s dance sounds that you'll bring into life are going to drive those audiences wild.
Well, I hope so.
But you must be loving the songs, and you got a brilliant link to this because you're the daughter of the founding father of the band in the shape of Dick.
Yes, yes, yes. And also my mother is Carrie Lucas, who was the first lady of Solar and Soul Train Records. It's kind of surreal because, like I say, we've always been a part of each other's landscape, but never in a million years did I really even imagine back then that I would be a part of the legacy as I am now.
Well, I mean, when you were a kid, you used to hear the recording sessions, hadn't you?
Oh, my gosh. When I was a kid, I used to bug the crap out of those guys.
But, I mean, obviously, they were heroes for the right reasons. They have got some fantastic songs. And with all the work over the years, I mean, you must have had a favourite coming into it. I mean, and do you get to sing on your favourite songs now?
Yeah, I do. It was a little nerve-wracking at first because, of course, you know, I mean, when you have people that are legends in your mind, you know, you can never duplicate that. So it was never the intention to duplicate, but it was just basically, you know, in my mind, a way to continue the legacy and celebrate it.
Yeah, and with, you know, stepping into the shoes of Jodie, obviously, that is a massive role to take, but certainly one that, from what I'm hearing, you have done more than amply.
Oh, wow. Well, I appreciate it. You know, I really don't look at it as stepping into her shoes, because the thing is, nobody could replace Jodie. I mean, the classic three is, you know, I think the favorite amongst everyone in the world. So that, you know, you do the best to bring your own, you know, flavor to it and try to just, it's just kind of like, you know, any other job. When someone leaves a job, you have to hire someone who can best suit to maybe do the best job, but it's not necessarily to do it like that, exactly like that person, so.
Yeah, and again, with such amazing songs, though, I mean, they're just going to love the performances out there. And, I mean, what's it like being on the road across the UK?
Well, because I've been doing it with them for so long, it's like home. You know, when we are not on the road, we are not together, because Jeffrey lives in Africa, Howard lives in Los Angeles, and currently I live in Memphis. So we're in three different geographical locations. So when we come back on the road, it's like being able to be together with family. And then, of course, we've got, you know, Craig, our agent, and he puts everything together. And we've got our band. So, I mean, we're all people that don't get to be with one another, who actually, where most people don't, we all like each other. So.
But you don't get tempted to jam over Skype and do something like that?
Yeah, just like, you know, forgive me for being a little tardy. Actually, we were fellowshipping at breakfast, and a lot of times people like to do it in their room, but we enjoy each other. We enjoy doing this together, and, you know, I mean, I'm not being funny, but it really is the real thing, you know.
You've been tempted to create some new music as well. Is that something we'll experience on this tour?
We've got our new single that we're releasing called The Real Thing, and it was written and produced by Leon Stovers, who was responsible for all of the Shalimar and Solar Records hits of the past. He's been able to come with a song that really had the flavor of Shalimar of old. And, you know, of course, we put the new 2017-18 vibe on it individually. And I mean, it's a fun song. It's energetic. You know, even though it's new, it still has that nostalgic feel. And we're all excited about it. You know, some people have, you know, things where they try to come out sounding completely different. In my opinion, I believe that we still kind of capture that, you know, that Shalimar nostalgic feel.
Well, that's going to be part of the magic itself. We'll be having a chat with Jeffrey very, very soon. But for now, let's give the gig a plug. It's going to be worth getting along to see. 17th of November, it's in Coventry. It's at the Copper Rooms. Actually, it's going to be worth getting over there. If you want to get tickets for that one, 02476 572 777. That's 02476 572 777, thecopperrooms.com. But and the important bit is, you guys are all over Facebook, social media. I mean, you're on Twitter, Shalimar Friends, Shalimar.info on Facebook, and the website Shalimar.info as well. And it must be good fun putting all that together and getting great feedback from all of those people who are enjoying the sounds too.
Absolutely. And you guys, please don't forget Instagram. It seems to be taking lead over all of the other social media sites. So we are Shalimar Friends on IG as well.
So just look out for all that. Follow what's going on. You'll be an experienced tour before it even arrives in Cardiff, can't you? Enjoy the magic. Caroline, great speaking to you. Following in the footsteps of your father, Dick, and making sure that Shalimar sound is absolutely top notch. But have a great time on the road, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you so much. Be blessed. Thank you.
Shalimar out on the road. They're playing Coventry on the 17th of November. To talk more about it, we have Jeffrey Daniel. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. a bit licking the wounds from last night, but we're okay.
This is what happens when you go out gig and enjoy yourself. But
there you have it.
Just making that magic on stage and really loving the music. And Carolyn was telling us earlier on how you've got some great new music and, of course, all the favourites as well. But what's it like being there at the beginning? And back in the 70s, you had no idea what you were setting yourself up for. It's a career and everything.
Well, see, you have to go back to that era. When you're talking about the 70s, stars were stars. So you can't imagine that one day you will be on par with some of your, the people who you idolize. And so we just went into it just doing what we love and just being so, appreciative, just being able to be in that position. And then now it's turned out to all of this, and it's like, wow.
Your involvement in the band has sort of evolved over time. How do you describe what you do now? Because you must still be doing the choreography as well as everything else.
I've always done that because I was doing that. I was dancing on Soul Train when Don Cornelius, the producer of Soul Train, and Dick Griffey put together the Soul Train Records, which is now evolved into Solar Records. So I was always doing both at the same time. But I didn't think that I would be like a choreographer to some of the people who I wound up choreographing. I was like, wow,
Yeah, including Michael Jackson. Come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, most notably Michael Jackson, because he's the biggest. I taught him how to do the backslide, which he renamed the moonwalk. Then I went on to choreograph the Bad video, Smooth Criminal, and I worked on the Ghost movie as well.
Absolutely amazing. And, it must be difficult picking out a highlight from a career with what anyone else can see as just highlight after highlight after highlight. But, I mean, with Shalimar, with this, with the dance, it's amazing, and it's so proud of all that you've done, I hope.
Right. I mean, it's looking back at the whole legacy of everything, the hits that we have, the Shalimar classic songs, looking back at all the videos. Like, people mention Michael Jackson. They don't know I did Vanessa Williams' debut video, Johnny Gill's debut video, the Go-Go's. I mean, if I can stand here and name a lot of the videos I did, because I'm not in all of them, I'm behind the scene. Then to look back on the whole body of work at this point. And then coming out here on tour and the reaction we're getting from the crowd is just amazing. People are out in the aisles dancing, they're singing along. It's just such a, wow, it's an amazing experience.
But are they getting the moves right? That's the important thing.
Yes. The moves are good.
That's good. Now, obviously, when you're looking at doing the choreographies you mentioned on the TV show Soul Train, I mean, that was just groundbreaking for its time. And it's from a band that's manufactured out of that to still be doing gigs and performing in 2017. It is just phenomenal. But I think that shows the quality of the songs and what went into this in the first place. And obviously working with Howard, I mean, that must be great to still have that partnership.
Yeah, well, you mentioned a very important word, and that is quality. Now, today's market, we have a lot of quantity, but we have little quality. And not to knock any of the new people, but I will knock anyone who doesn't master your craft or try to master it. In today's context, a lot of the new artists are going just for the fame and the money and the cars and the jewelry. But that quality, and that's why Shalimar is standing the test of time. And our songs are evergreen, which we attribute to our producer, Leon Silvers, who coincidentally, 2017, we go back to Leon Silvers, who's responsible for the Shalimar classic hits, and he's produced our newest song that we're releasing now during this tour. It's called The Real Thing. And we managed to keep the integrity of the Shalimar sound, but then it feels contemporary, but it's still Shalimar at the same time.
And that's the bit that is most important to you. You can see that you believe in this. I would say you believe in this as a product, which I can kind of say because it was manufactured, but it is so much more than that, isn't it? To you, it's a way of life.
Yeah, that's true. When you hear it, you can see what's put into it, and you can see what we're feeling and what's going on. And, it's a great experience, and we're proud of that product. So I'm sure the people, when they get into The Real Thing, they'll be behind it.
Yeah, well, we'll take a listen to that in a moment or two's time. But, I mean, if you had to pick a song which is your favourite from all of the output, is it the new stuff, or is there a song from the early days that really you enjoyed working on most?
It's going to have to go for the classic hits, because that's where great memories are. That's when life was a little more simple. We didn't have mobile phones and all this internet. And, it takes you back to who you're in love with at that time, where you were living at that time. Life was just so much simpler back then. So I have to go back to I Can Make You Feel Good.
True classic song. And we're looking at a new classic now with The Real Thing. And this is going to fire people up to enjoy more and more music. You're going to be creating songs for years to come, I know. Shalimar.info to find out all about the band. As we mentioned earlier on, you've got this Facebook page, Twitter and Instagram. You can see them on YouTube as well. Check all that out and get yourself along to that gig on Friday the 17th of November in Coventry at the Copper Rooms, thecopperrooms.com.
Yeah.
Jeff Daniel, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for the music and the moves over the years, and long may it continue.
And of course, thank you very much for your support and interest over the years, because it's people like you who keep people like us going. So thank you very much.
Hey, if we didn't have the tunes to play, where would we be? So let's do that now. Jeff, thanks again.
Cheers. Thank you.
During the winter months, there's an incredible range of holidays available to British holidaymakers, with Brits taking three or more holidays a year. It's on the increase. To tell us more, somebody who knows how to travel and how to ski, Eddie the Eagle Edwards, hello.
Hello.
How are we doing?
I'm very, very well, thank you.
Good
I'm,
stuff.
I'm even better now that it's getting cold and the winter's coming and I know, oh, I can go skiing.
You're the only person, I think, who's going to say that sort of stuff, to be fair.
I do much prefer the cold weather to the hot weather, I must admit.
I have to admit, I don't like being too warm because you can always do something about being cold,
exactly.
Whether it's an extra ski jacket or whatever.
That's right, that's right.
So, obviously, with this survey tells us that many Brits are taking three or more holidays a year, with one in five planning a winter sports holiday, and this really is the way to get a bit of a buzz, isn't it?
Oh, it's fun. There's nothing quite like a skiing or a winter sports holiday. It is fantastic, whether you're a skier or a snowboarder. The fun, the excitement, the adrenaline, the exercise, the scenery, it's fantastic.
And that is a good bit, isn't it? The scenery as much as anything else. So even if you just want to go and go away with the family, maybe the younger ones can go off and do the skiing down the hills. But you can still go along and enjoy the sort of venues that you're at, whether it be something you want to actively take part in or whether you're just a spectator.
That's right. If you're an adrenaline junkie and you want to go off and ski and snowboard and ski the Black Runs, that's great. But there are plenty of people who go out on a winter skiing holiday that don't ski or don't ski or snowboard. They go for the snowshoeing. They go for dog sleigh rides or horse sleigh rides. They can go snowshoeing. They can go to spas, because in Austria a lot of the hotels do some really, really good spas. So they can go for a massage, go for a sauna, a steam room, go for a swim. There's plenty to do, whatever you're into.
You've sold it to me already, I think, to be fair. That sounds fantastic. And so, winter sun tends to be the most popular, but this really is another way of having a great holiday. And something you maybe hadn't initially thought, hang on, I want to escape the British winter to go to somebody else's winter that's going to be even more wintry. But they are ready for it. We never are over here. But you can go to a log cabin afterwards and you're going to be toasty warm.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people think, oh, it's too cold. But it's a different kind of cold. When you go into Europe and you go skiing, you're better dressed for it. Usually, so you take your proper ski jackets and things like that, shoes to wear to walk on the snow. So you're better prepared for it. But yeah, the hotels and all the places you go to, the bars and restaurants, are lovely and toasty and warm. And so people shouldn't be put off by that. It's safer now. The equipment is a lot safer. So a lot of people are thinking, oh, I don't want to go skiing. I might get injured. But the runs are so well prepared, equipment is so much safer for now, so you don't have to worry about that. So I think there's plenty to do for everybody, whatever you're into, and going on a skiing holiday. So I would always recommend a skiing holiday.
And is this what got you into your Olympic sports in the first place?
It was a school ski trip. I used to watch Ski Sunday when I was a kid, and then I was invited to go on my first school ski trip when I was 13. Mm-hmm. And I was very lucky. I had one of the biggest dry ski slopes in the country, just 10 miles away in Gloucester. And I learnt to ski there, went to Andelo in the Italian Dolomites, and that was it. I fell in love with skiing, and I've been skiing for 40 years now. But my favourite destination has got to be Austria, because you can fly into Austria and you can be skiing within the hour of landing at the airport, which is ideal.
Absolutely, and that's the way to start a holiday, isn't it? It literally hit the ground running, or in your case, skiing.
That's right, yeah. You fly into Innsbruck or fly to Salzburg, get on the bus, you can be in any number of fantastic ski resorts, and off you go and ski. There's nothing worse than arriving at an airport and then you've got a five-hour bus journey to get to a ski resort, where in Austria that doesn't happen. You fly right into the midst of it and you can get out there and ski and snowboard straight away.
And I suppose when it comes to it, most people are going to go for something no more treacherous than a slalom. And even then, as you say, it is so much better catered for these days that they haven't got anything too much to worry about. Get the training, though, when you get there. But maybe give the ski jump a miss until you're fully equipped for these things.
Yes. Start by doing alpine skiing first and learn to be able to stand up on skis without falling over. And then possibly you can go and have a look at a ski jump and see how big they are, and then maybe decide whether you want to have a go or not.
Well, it is that final adrenaline rush. You're in the air. How long are you actually up there for? Because it must seem like forever, but equally going over quite quickly.
It can be. But if you do a 120-metre ski jump, you'll be in the air for about 5-6 seconds. So, it's a long time to make a mistake, but it's also a long enough time to enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. And with the magic of GoPros and the like these days, the cameras you can attach to your helmet, this can be even better, can't you? Because you in the past, you're training with somebody at the bottom of the hill going, yeah, that looks all right, with the camcorder, probably a Betamax one that's the size of an house.
But these days,
you can strap the things to your head and film it down. That'd be worth doing, wouldn't it?
Just about every other skier or snowboarder that I'm skiing with when I go skiing has got a GoPro on their helmet or on their body somewhere. They're great little devices. They're so small and so light, you forget that they're on your head. And they make some great shots that you can show the family when you get home. You know, look what I skied down or jumped down or things like that. It's great. They're great little gadgets.
It sounds absolutely fantastic. And the winter break can make so much difference. It is the time of year when you're probably a little bit down due to the British weather, but go and enjoy it properly. See what to do in the likes of Austria.
That's right. You've got the scenery, but also the exercise, because doctors are telling us that we've got to exercise more, not only for our physical fitness and well-being, but, you know, people suffer from anxiety and depression and that kind of thing. And getting out there and exercising all day makes you feel better. And so people are always saying you've got to get out there and exercise. And skiing and a skiing holiday is the most ideal thing. You're out on a break, but you're exercising all day, every day. You can go to the spa in the evening if you want. It's great. So I would thoroughly recommend, you know, going skiing or snowboarding.
Up and down the hills a few times on the slopes and then get the calves massaged of an evening.
That's right. And it doesn't matter whether you've never skied before or snowboarded before. Go out there. You've got some fantastic places in Austria like Carinthia. You've got the ski circus, which is Saalbach Hinterglemm, a massive, massive ski area. So if you're a very good skier, there'll be something there for you to ski down. Zillertal in the Tyrol and Salamsee. There's loads of places, even glacier skiing. So, you know, you'll be guaranteed snow. So get out there and ski.
Well, it sounds like we know where we're going to find you over the next few months, right the way through until the thaw comes next year. And if people do want to find out more, where can they go online to book their break?
They can go to austria.info/winter. They've got all the information you need. Whatever you're looking for, Austria has it. And I'll take you skiing if you like. We'll go out and have a ski.
That sounds like a plan. Right, yeah, okay. Yeah. A date in the diary. We'll sort that one out. Eddie, it sounds fantastic.
No
Eddie the Eagle Edwards, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I won't waste your time. I just- 'cause I won't waste your time. I just wanna practice what I preach. 'Cause love can be such a talent, a game that can be to win us. And like any sport, it depends on the prize and knowing where the real thing lies. To make a long story short, baby, I can make you feel good.
I can make you feel so good.
Forget about what he did wrong. Oh, baby, I can make.
On Wednesday the 29th of November, Birmingham's Glee Club plays host to Fresh Off the Bloat. Margaret Cho is at the helm and she joins me now. Hello.
Hello.
So tell us a bit about your stand-up gig coming up in Brum before we talk a bit about your interesting past.
Well, this is all really exciting because I've never been there. So I guess it's my introduction to all of Britain. It's my first big British tour, and so it's about a lot of things, whether it's Donald Trump or sexual harassment or Harvey Weinstein or Kevin Spacey. It's changing and growing every day. There's so much to talk about, and I'm really excited to bring it there.
Sadly, I mean, there is a lot of material to work on at the moment, particularly in all those areas you've looked at, which is worrying in its own way, but at least you can make light of some interesting situations. And your seven dates across the UK are going to bring a familiar face and voice to an audience that just won't have seen you doing stand-up before.
Well, it's very exciting. And I think that, you know, just talking about everything that's going on with feminism and how much the world is changing, there's so much to deal with, you know, it's really about finding a way of talking about it as a survivor of sexual abuse and assault. This is like such an important time to just be alive and witness all that's going on.
Yeah, so, I mean, this show itself, I think it's been billed as probably your sickest show to date. And that in the really challenging way to make sure that you're getting the absolute, the message across, but still looking at the funny side of things too.
It's very important to always be funny. That's the most important job, that you don't want to get bogged down in being too kind of strident and too dry and political. You always have to laugh. And so it's about finding that balance. I feel like because I've been doing this job, I've been a comedian for 35 years. So I finally figured out how to do it. My mentor was the great Joan Rivers, who loved to play Britain. She always had a great time there. She was always a big hit at Buckingham Palace, where they loved her. And so I try to follow in her footsteps.
Oh, that's big shoes to fill, but I'm sure if anybody can, you can. And you've been involved in so many bits of TV, though. Everything from Drop Dead Diva, which was six seasons on the Lifetime Network, through to being involved with Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yes. I wasn't on Dancing with Stars very long. I got cut after about 3 weeks, which I was glad about because it was too much dancing. I love dancing, but that was really too much dancing for me. So I've been around doing TV and everything like that forever, but stand-up comedy is my true love.
That's taken you to venues across the US. And how different do you think the US audiences are going to be compared to what you'll find in the UK? Have you been prepared for this?
Well, I think what I've experienced when I've played London or Edinburgh, so those are my experiences with the UK, but the audiences there are really, everybody's really sophisticated because you're used to your comedians changing up their shows every year. So every comedian in the UK has a new kind of take on everything every year, and so you're a very sophisticated audience who expects a lot from your performers, and so that's the big change.
And when you're away from the stage, I mean, you're actively involved in anti-racism, anti-bullying, advocating for the homeless. You know, all of those areas that some people just aren't quite brave enough to pick up on. And it's great to see, you know, see someone with your profile actually going out there and doing that. And do you think that's been inspired by some of the things you said on stage that makes you want to go out there and do that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you are talking about all of these issues, it's also very important to get involved, whether that is very active charity, very active kind of like helping people, but also it just makes me feel good. You know, I'm really proud of my work in that sort of sphere of whether it's talking about gay rights or anti-bullying or racism, all of these things. It's all very important to do the work behind it.
And with the rest of your work, I mean, you've been nominated for an Emmy as guest appearance on 30 Rock, all that sort of stuff as well. I mean, that really gives you, the ability to go out and talk to people in a way that many others can't.
I think so, especially when you're making fun of North Korea. That's a very rare kind of thing where, you know, there's very few people that can actually talk about it with experience and authority. And since I'm Korean, I definitely fit that.
Yeah, and this, I think, is something that runs in your family, isn't it? This boldness. I mean, your grandmother was certainly not afraid of telling you what she thought.
She was always laughing and always making fun of me. And my mom, too, is my mother's a big part of my act. And I do a lot of impressions of her, which is really fun. But yes, I come from a family of very strong women.
And this is all where Fresh Off the Bloat started. So as I say, you are seen on stage in Birmingham on the 29th of November. That's at the Glee Club. To get your tickets, just nip along to the Live Nation website. You can get those there. Livenation.co.uk. Artists, Margaret-Cho-Tickets. And you can go along and be amused, hopefully offended a little bit, because if you aren't offended, you haven't been doing your job properly. And you enjoyed doing the gig, and we look forward to having you over here in the UK.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Margaret. Great speaking to you. Thanks, then.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, that's your lot for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Back with episode 438 next week. See you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.